Hello and welcome to In Historia Medicine. I am Dr. Ashwini Nathu. The ongoing COVID-19 pandemic has changed how we do and see so many things in our daily lives. What it has also done is revised and reiterated the importance of something that all of us were probably taught in play school. Hand washing. Something that we haven't given much deliberate thought to in years. And yet, here we are, being bombarded with public service announcements encouraging frequent hand washing and the right way to go about it. I'm quite sure that all of us are tired of hearing those. But what we hardly hear is someone saying that hand washing is a myth, or that's not how diseases spread. The fact that germs cause diseases and how germs spread is a foregone conclusion for most of us. But this wasn't always the case. Let's go back in time to the 1950s. That's less than two centuries ago. Charles Dickens had written A Tale of Two Cities and Darwin had published his Origin of Species. The Great Exhibition was held at the Crystal Palace in London and we had laid the first trans-Pacific telegraph cable. Elisha Otis had already invented the safety elevator. And in these interesting times was born the hero of our today's story, Ignaz Semmelweis. Semmelweis was born in July 1818 in what is now Budapest, Hungary. At age 21, Ignaz joined the University of Vienna to study law, but later switched to medicine. He wanted to be a physician but could not get the required rotations, so he decided on obstetrics and gynecology as his specialization. After completing his training, 38-year-old Ignaz joined the first obstetric clinic in Vienna as an assistant to Professor Johann Klein. In erstwhile Vienna, as in the rest of Europe, there were a number of free maternity hospitals established by the government, which also served as training institutes for medical students and trainee midwives. Vienna had two such hospitals, the first clinic which trained the medical students and the second clinic which trained the midwives. Now, most people would think that the women admitted to the first clinic would be faring better as they were being treated by the doctors. But this was hardly the case. The mortality rate of women dying of childbed fever or puerperal fever was more in the first clinic, almost five times that of the second clinic. This statistic was publicly and widely known, and the pregnant women used every trick in the book to avoid getting admitted to the first clinic, since both clinics admitted patients on alternate days. When Semmelweis first joined the clinic, he was greatly disturbed by this pattern. He started systematically thinking of the probable causes for this vast difference. He thought about and eliminated most of the factors and came to a conclusion that the only difference was the medical professions that handled the clinics. He was surprised by the fact that the second clinic had a better outcome despite being always more crowded than the other one. Then about a year after he joined the clinic, he had a breakthrough. A friend of his, Jacob Kuletska, died after getting accidentally cut by a scalpel during an autopsy. It was quite a common happening in those times. The autopsy findings of Jacob were similar to that of the patient whose autopsy he had been conducting, but what was surprising that they were also similar to those of a few puerperal fever victims. A light bulb went on and Semmelweis had found his differentiating factor. The medical students went from the autopsy room directly to the hospital, often in the same clothes and aprons, while the midwives had absolutely no connection to the autopsies. So Semmelweis figured that some material must be getting transmitted from the bodies in the autopsy to the pregnant women via the hands of the medical students. He called these particles cadaverous particles. Semmelweis realized that he was on to something important. So he made it compulsory for all the medical students to wash their hands with a solution of chlorinated lime or calcium hypochlorite before entering the wards and also between seeing two patients. He chose chlorinated lime because he thought that this was the most effective chemical to remove the odor of the decaying tissues in autopsy. So it must be eliminating the cadaverous particles as well. Sure enough, within a few weeks, the deaths started decreasing rapidly, and within a few months, they were at par with the second clinic, and then steadily fell to zero. You'd think that's great, problem solved, and 3 years for Semmelweis. But it wasn't that simple. Infectious diseases were thought to be caused by bad air or miasma, and infectious agents like bacteria and viruses hadn't yet been discovered. That is why, despite the incredible results, the rest of the medical fraternity of the day wasn't very keen to accept Semmelweis's findings. His boss, Professor Klein, believed that the decreased mortality was due to a new ventilation system in the hospital, which is more in line with his belief of the miasma theory. Most of the medical luminaries of the day refused to accept the spread of cadaverous particles since there was no scientific way for Semmelweis to prove their existence. Additionally, the medical students were outraged since they were asked to wash their hands. They believed themselves to be gentlemen and were obviously not unclean. In fact, having the odors of the autopsy room on their aprons and their hands was regarded with pride as a mark of their hard work and dedication as doctors. Few of Semmelweis's students and later Semmelweis himself tried to publish their findings in various European medical journals, but they were ignored at best and ridiculed at worst. In the midst of all this, Semmelweis's contract with the first clinic came to an end, and it was not renewed. He left Vienna with a bitter taste in his mouth. He returned to Budapest and eventually became a professor of obstetrics. He replicated his success with hand washing and reduced the maternal deaths significantly, even in Budapest. Still, the old vanguard was reluctant to accept his theories. Semmelweis slowly slipped into depression. He started attacking prominent people in the medical community with harsh open letters, even calling some of them as murderers of mothers. This obviously did not go down well with anyone. The medical luminaries were obviously not getting themselves called as murderers of mothers by a nobody like Semmelweis. Finally, in 1865, he was tricked into getting admitted to a mental asylum by his wife and his friends. Few weeks later, in a huge ironic twist, he died of sepsis due to an infected wound on his hand caused by a guard's beating. He received no acknowledgement in death either. The hand washing practices were quickly discontinued and forgotten. It wasn't until 2 decades later that his theory was proved through the work of Koch, Pasteur, and Lister. His contributions were finally acknowledged, and he was named the champion of mothers. Women's hospitals were named after him in Vienna and Budapest, the very cities that had driven him out. The medical university in Budapest was renamed Semmelweis University. He received numerous accolades, stamps and coins, books and movies about his life, even a minor planet named after him. Then on March 20th, 2020, he got the highest honor of all, a Google Doodle, to promote hand washing during the COVID-19 pandemic. Along with all the accolades and recognition, his bittersweet experience also led to the coining of the term Semmelweis reflex, a metaphor for a reflexive tendency to reject new evidence because it contradicts with our established beliefs or practices. And to this day, hand washing remains a simple, effective, and low-cost measure to prevent spread of infections. And despite all our knowledge, we still struggle with its implementation and compliance even today. Thank you for listening. This is In Historia Medicinae, a brief history of medicine with me, Dr. Ashwini Nathu. You can email us at abriefhistoryofmedicine@gmail.com.